Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, January 30th, 2023, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 58, the third paragraph. At some of these we balked, ending with, "Was nil until we let go absolutely." Reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Rhonda R. Readers of the text, Becca R., Jody E., and Gail K. The reference number for Sunday, January 29th, is 19900. That's 19900. And for this morning, Monday, January 30th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19901. That's 19901. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Mo H., and Betsy H. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, everyone. And Dawn, thank you very much for your service this month. It's been a pleasure working with you. And good morning to the newcomers, especially. Joanne L. from Rhode Island recovered. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And it's been a pleasure doing service, and thank you to Layer. I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thank you for your service, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. I'm Rhonda R., grateful member in Georgia. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you so much for the opportunity to do service in January. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Rhonda R. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone, except the speaker's, should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 58, the third paragraph, at some of these we balked, ending, was nil until we let go absolutely. Reading and commenting on that one paragraph today. I will now ask Becca R. to begin reading.
Hey, good morning. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic and bulimic, calling in from Kentucky. Thanks for allowing me to do service this morning. At some of these, we balked. We thought we could find an easier, softer way, but we could not. With all the earnestness at our command, we beg of you to be fearless and thorough from the very start. Some of us have tried to hold on to our old ideas, and the result was nil until we let go absolutely. And wow, what a great paragraph. What resonates the most with me is the last sentence of holding on to our old ideas and the result was nil. My experience is I came to Overeaters Anonymous and I took what I wanted and I left the rest behind. And I said I was in recovery and I said I had a sponsor because I did, but I was not recovered like I am today. And what I mean is I did not work the 12 steps as outlined in the Big Book. I did those in another 12-step program. I didn't think I needed to do them in this program. And I got a sponsor and I called her occasionally and we would spend a lot of time talking about foods and diets and really it was dieting with group support. And I hadn't experienced the spiritual change that I heard when I finally did get around people who had recovered from this disease, recovered from the seemingly hopeless state of mind. And so when I came in broken and it was funny because I never really left OA, but when I finally got honest and said, okay, I'm willing to do all the things and do all the best of me. I came in 100%. I came all the way in. I sat all the way down. And my sponsor likes to say, and I yes ma'amed, you know, there was no more debating. There was no more negotiating. You want me to do this, this, and this? Okay, I'll do it. You want me to read this and call you? Okay, I'm going to read it and call you. You want me to listen to a podcast and take down some notes about it? Sure, I'll do that. You want me to commit my food? Okay, I'll do that. Everything I had tried prior had failed. I was miserable. I was living a storybook life. I had everything I ever wanted, and I was crazy. I was crazy. My head was so crazy because of this disease, because of my relationship with body and food and it was all just crazy. And so I'm so grateful to be here today, 100%, to be all the way in, and to be on this journey with my fellows. And I look forward to hearing what everybody has to say. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Becca R. So appreciate that share. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Teresa G, New York.
Teresa
I would
D.
Like to share.
And what's
G like
your name?
Burl in New York.
Burl in New York.
Debbie P from Indiana.
Debbie P.
Christina W, Michigan.
Christina W,
Aaron
Michigan.
B, Arizona.
Who is that from Arizona?
Aaron B.
Aaron B. Okay, let me read to you who I have. I believe I might have missed someone. I have Teresa D, New York, Burl in New York, Debbie P, Indiana, Christina, and Aaron B. Did I miss someone?
Actually, you have 2 for 1. It's Teresa G in New York. I was just correcting the last initial and said girl. So.
Oh, okay, very good, very good. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Teresa G, New York, followed by Debbie P in Indiana. Go ahead, Teresa, please share with us.
Thank you. I'm Teresa, and I am a grateful and blessed member of Overeaters Anonymous. And the reading today, I was able to attend the first, the 7 o'clock session, and I learned something in other fellowships. And I was just over 18 months in this one. And I learned what booked meant. It turns out it's a baseball term. And by definition, it just means hesitation. And I always had it assumed with bucking. You know, it was more defiance involved for me. But it's just hesitation. And I always said by the time I got here, I hesitated on nothing because I was crushed by a self-imposed crisis. I could no longer postpone or evade. I came in at 360 pounds and had difficulty breathing and was pre-diabetic and on and on and on and on and on. And I was done. I had no other options. The easier, softer way wasn't easier or softer by the time I got here. And I'm just so grateful that I do believe that God, this is a God-given program, and I've been gifted everything I need in this process. And I'm hooked up with an amazing sponsor in California. I'm in New York. And he was no nonsense. And he required that I do a lot. And I said, that's a lot. And he said, what else are you doing? Killing yourself? And it was just enough. It was enough for me to look at how I had not surrendered my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him entirely. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Teresa G. from New York. Debbie P., please share with us, followed by Christina.
Good morning, Don. Good morning, my fellows. My name is Debbie P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Indiana. This paragraph is so me. Because I balked at it for many, many years, I thought I could find an easier, softer way, and I spent a lot of years trying. I didn't think that I needed a higher power because I was special. And I could not possibly be fearless or thorough from any start while I was in the food, because I was so fearful. And I couldn't be thorough because I couldn't see the truth. And I tried to hold on to my old ideas. And, you know, I heard earlier the dieting with group support with my old ideas. And, of course, the result was nil. I had to let go absolutely finally. I got to the point of desperation, I guess. I'll say that. And I came to terms with the fact that, number one, this is an allergy. And though it portrays itself within me differently than what I'm familiar with allergies, it is still an allergy. And I had to just accept that from that I had this allergy. And then I had to come to terms with the fact that, you know, it's not a disease that can be treated medically. It's a disease that I need to work on spiritually. And once I really understood that, then it was like, oh, I get this. And as far as working the steps, it is a lot of work. If I had not done the steps, worked the steps the way that I did prior to this time last year would not have meant so much to me. But this time last year, I worked through the steps via the Big Book, and I had a lot of support to do that. And I got fearless, and I got thorough, and I found a higher power that could help me do all that. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. I felt called for this paragraph today. I will pass with that. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Debbie P. from Indiana. Christina W., please share with us, followed by Aaron B., and then I'll be opening up the line again to take more names. In case you're just joining us, we are on page 58, the third paragraph. At some of these, we balked. Ending was nil until we let go absolutely, and we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So, Christina, please share with us.
Good morning. Thanks for allowing me to share. Can you guys hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I thought it was me. Okay, so this paragraph really, really speaks to me. I recently lost my sponsor, and I got a new sponsor, and it kind of hit me like a ton of bricks, you know, what my problem was. I was still trying to kind of, you know, maintain control, and I was still trying to do it my way. And I felt this deep, dark kind of like despair when I lost my sponsor, because I knew I had lost my sponsor because I wasn't at that point where I was willing to do whatever it took. I still wanted to hold on to old ideas, and now I have a new sponsor, and I don't know, it's only been a short time, but I have a new perspective entirely, and I'm finally at that point by the grace of God that I'm, you know, finally ready to relinquish control. I haven't conquered it, you know, by any stretch, but I'm happy to have several days now where I haven't overate, several days where I've worked the steps and I'm seeing the magic and the miracle, and I'm just happy to finally be at a point where I'm ready to let go of those old ideas, and, you know, I just don't want to feel hopeless anymore. I was doing some outreach last night, and we were talking, and one thing I said, just I started to talk, and I said, you know, I just got tired of suffering in silence. So, anyways, I'm at this point now, and I think I'm so grateful for the support of my new sponsor, really helping me and really being firm on me, and it's not this big ordeal anymore. I don't have a problem. Beforehand, I was like, oh man, I don't want to do this, or oh, I don't, you know. But now my sponsor's like, you know, do the podcast. You know, she's like, do the readings. And I'm like, okay. And I'm excited to figure out what I'm going to get from the reading. After I do a reading or a podcast or a meeting, I'm excited for what I learn and figure out about my disease. And I'm just excited and happy and hopeful for the future. So, and with that, I pass. Thank you guys for the support.
Thank you so much. Aaron B., please share with us.
Thank you. I really enjoy this paragraph. And, you know, the second sentence, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. I mean, that is my natural behavior. I want it to be easy. I want it to be soft. I don't want to have any pain or any skin in the game. And so I look back and I'd see people that had some success in managing their weight healthy. And I just either would discount it to genetics or, you know, if it's somebody that lost weight, which is what my challenge was, I'd ask them what they did, but I was looking for that easy magic ball, take a pill, you're going to be happy. And that's my old way. I mean, my old thinking. And, you know, as I've been working, I've only been working on the steps for a few months, but I really am grateful knowing that just getting to the point where I truly do believe that my ways are always going to fail me. My best thinking got me into this mess, and it's not going to get me out of this mess. And it's not until I stop doing what I want and I surrender to my higher power that I find success. And I see that on repeat. Even the best weeks I have is when I make outreach calls and I stay connected and I'm very vocal and honest about what I'm doing, both with food and just my feelings. But as things get good, the first thing that I let go and my thoughts and my old ideas are, I got this now and I can handle this. And I stop making those calls and I go on repeat where I see quickly how quickly my old ideas and ideas I have of not surrendering get me into trouble. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Aaron B. from Arizona. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share?
Paula B., Canada.
Was that
Joanne L.?
Bryce L., Arizona.
Okay, hold on here. Joanne L., and that was Bryce.
Deborah G.
And Deborah G.
Reggie O.
Reggie O. Okay, let's stop there. I have, was it Pella in Canada?
Pella.
Hella. Hella in Canada.
Paula.
Oh, Pella?
Paula.
Can you spell that, please?
P-A-U-L-A.
Pella. Okay, very good. And Joanne L., I have Bryce and Deborah G. and Reggie O. So, Pella, please go ahead and start us off by sharing.
Hi, Paula, compulsive overeater in British Columbia, Canada. I've been holding on to old ideas and doing things my way instead of letting my higher power be in control. And I had a great experience with a recovery buddy last week who gave me a great visualization to have God in control. And that is, he is driving the bus. I am sitting on his lap. So he's got the gas pedal and the brake pedal, and I can steer. And if I start going off course, he can course correct me. And because I enjoy dancing, it went to standing on my higher power's feet, who I like to call daddy sometimes, and letting him dance while I'm standing on his feet, and he's taking the lead, and I'm free, and I just like sailing around the moon, and it just brought so much joy, enlightenment, and excitement that I keep envisioning that so that I can turn my will and my life over to the care of the God of my understanding. With that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Hi, thank you so much, Paula from Canada. Joanne L., please share with us, followed by Bryce. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for your patience here. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered in Rhode Island. And what comes to mind on this paragraph for me is, you know, I never truly, you know, wanted to do the program exactly the way that it was supposed to be laid out. And, you know, I've been in program for a very, very, very long time, and I just wanted to do it my way, which we call the Frank Sinatra way, my way. You know, like I would do certain things and I would do certain steps, but that was it. You know, no, because I didn't have anybody here to monitor me. You know, like I thought that, you know, if I was alone, that, hey, you know, God's going to overlook me. He, you know, I'm not going to pray. But I have to tell you, you know, today it's so, so different. After being in program and going through the steps, I know now today, you know, that I need to do these steps diligently and I need to work with God. I give credit where credit is due. You know what? If it wasn't for God, I just don't know where I would be today. It says that we, you know, it says that I wanted to do it. We could do it. Oh, God, I'm sorry. We wanted to find an easier, softer way, but I have to tell you, there is no easier, softer way. This is actually step three, and step three is that we're making a decision to turn our lives and our will over to the care of God as we know Him. And when I got to this step, I remember my sponsor saying, "No, Joanne, there's work to be done. You know, are you willing, you know, to do all the work?" And at this point, I was willing. I was so, so willing. And now, you know, that I've been in program for a very long time, I wanted this so bad, you know, because I was just fooling myself. I really, truly, and God is everywhere. You know, it was me who didn't want to give Him everything, but now I do. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's nighttime, daytime. I know that I need to surrender everything over to the care of God as I know Him. And you know something? It really, really works. But I had to let go of my old ideas, thinking, oh, you know, it's not going to work for me. Oh, that is so ridiculous. It works for everybody. And we were all God's children. And so, you know what? He's here for everyone. So I just want to say that I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you. And I pass.
Thank you so much, Joanne L. from Rhode Island. Bryce L., please share with us. Bryce L., star one. Okay, perhaps Bryce had to step away. Deborah G., please
hello,
share with
yeah.
us. Oh, there you are. Go ahead.
I'm Bryce from Arizona. You know, the step are giving our will or giving my will up to God is something that, you know, I thought was easy for a long time in my addictions. And it's easy to do, you know, there's a lot of things you can do to try and say, hey, you know what, I got this a little bit. Always in the back of my mind, I always kind of thought like I got this a little bit. And never truly gave myself completely over and just completely surrendered that I have absolutely zero control over my actions in my addiction and in overeating and in other things. Like, if it's up to me, given enough time, I'm going to choose my way, and my way doesn't work. You know, choosing to let God is so simple, but it's so hard sometimes. It took me a long time to finally realize, like, you know what, if I'm going to have any, if I'm keeping anything in the back of my head that I think I can do this on my own, I'm going to fail every time. And so it's really awesome to finally realize, like, I have to give up complete control and give up everything I think I know and just let God take over. So that was super big for me and an awesome thing. So with that.
Thank you so much, Bryce L. from Arizona. Deborah G., please share with us, followed by Reggie O.
Oh, good morning, Dawn. I'm Deborah G. from Arizona. Thank you so much for your service this morning and everyone's service this morning in making this meeting possible. And thank you all for all the shares 12-stepping me this morning. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I'm so glad that you're here, balking and all. And I can relate to that so much because I went for many, many years in OA, and I was just going through the motions, resisting what I needed to do, just going through the motions. And then I remember finding out there was one alcoholic food that I wouldn't let go of, resisted, blah, blah, and trying all these different old ideas, switching this and switching that, you know, just trying to play with it so I could keep going with it. And it didn't work. And until I finally awakened and saw myself with it, a fork in one hand and that shaker in the other, and I said, I can't do this anymore. Finally, I just let go, surrendered. I got myself an OA Vision sponsor, put that food down, went through the steps, and got neutrality. Oh. And you know, today, I love living the steps. I love living the steps, but there are times that I will still balk. I don't want to do a 10-step. I can think this away. I can think this resentment away or this fear or whatever. And, you know, and I try and it doesn't work. And it leads me back to who can help me, that divine loving presence power, trusting that power to do it for me because I can't. Or I don't want to do a spiritual practice, or I don't want to do a reading, or, you know, whatever it might be in living this way. I can have those resistances, but I'm so grateful because of staying in the herd, staying with my tribe, coming to the meetings, listening to all of you, that I will have those thoughts, but I do it anyways because of all your love and support and holding hands and doing it together. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Deborah G. from Arizona. Reggie O., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line in case you're just joining us. We're on page 58, the third paragraph. At some of these, we balked. Ending was nil until we let go absolutely, and we're commenting on that one paragraph today. Reggie O., please share with us.
Thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everybody. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Texas today, and I remember when I read this paragraph once some years ago, and we thought we could find an easier, softer way. Well, previous to that, I had tried every easier, softer way that was possibly imaginable for years and years and years, and they were all quite short-term, which is what I learned, you know, and I also learned that none of them ever lasted over the long term. And then I was reading this paragraph, and I don't remember what it was, and I thought, wow, this really is the easier, softer way. It's a clear path. It's a clear-cut path. It takes me from step one through step 12 and teaches me that I'm never done, you know, that once I get recovered and have had a spiritual awakening and, my life has changed and I'm feeling good about things, then I have to keep on. And I have to, and the thing about it is I have to continually enlarge this, but as I'm continually enlarging, you know, my spiritual life, as it says elsewhere in the big book, which, you know, is the answer, where I'm looking for a power greater than myself. And you know, that great power greater than myself is not me, but it lives inside me. And I have to clear the path, you know, in these steps, clear the path to that higher power that lives inside me. And I have to clear it every day, you know. And I was talking to a friend yesterday, and she said, and she's been in a long time too. She said, I am in day one every single day. And, you know, I can see that, you know, for some reason, I can see that in a lot of ways, but, you know, I, I need the fellowship. I need the steps. I need the constant reminder that I'm never done with this path. And, you know, when I'm living in 10, 11, and 12 right now, and in step 10, I do a step 10 every day with a buddy. And my thinking is what is always the problem in any step 10 that I, you know, any step 10 that I take. It's always my thinking. And so I'm constantly working on my thinking, and my life does keep getting better and better, and in so many ways. And the program, this program, this way is always here, and it is for me the easier, softer way. And I will stop there.
Thank you so much, Reggie O from Texas. I am now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? I'll take about three or four names.
Penny L.C.
Penny L.C.
Barbara A.
Barbara A. Okay, we'll go with those two. Penny L.C., please
Becky
share with
T.
us. Oh, who is that?
Becky T.
Becky T. Okay, we'll stop there. So Penny L.C., followed by Barbara A., then Becky T. Go ahead, Penny.
Thank you, Dawn, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And when I think of the word balk, for me, I think of the years that I worked with horses, and they would balk at doing something new, something that arose fear in them or insecurity. And boy, if that isn't my case, you know, I know today that why I was balking was because of fear and insecurity. And I just needed to be guided and gentled along, which is what I used to do with the horses, to build their trust, you know, the same way I needed trust to be built within me. And when I couldn't quite find that trust in a higher power, I realized I needed a new higher power. It did take some, you know, some setting aside some old ideas and being willing to open myself up to some guidance and some new ways of thinking and behaving. And in doing so, my willingness to do the step work came, and my concept of a higher power developed and changed, became a trusting relationship. And from there, the miracle has unfolded by doing this work. These 12 steps are part of my miracle, and I'm grateful. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny L.C. from Washington. Barbara A., please share with us, followed by Becky T.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A. from Central Coast, California. Grateful to have connected and working the program today. I've been in the rooms for a long time. I've taken long breaks from the rooms. Today, really just working through steps 1 and 2 with a sponsor, the gift I gave myself, the sponsor, the gift I wouldn't give myself because I'm so dishonest and so righteous. I am being thorough from the very start, being honest from the very start, something I never did. Coming into these rooms had to be the best, had to make sure that everyone knew that I, you know, knew what was going on, I'm smart. Only when I realize I'm not, I let go of that thought that I have in my head that I'm the smartest person, I can do this by myself. I have just read through and listened to some podcasts about the type of hopelessness, the type of compulsive overeater that I am. I am a hopeless variety. Never wanted to say that out loud. Never wanted to be honest about that. Continuously keeping myself in a state of sugar flower high, getting abstinent for a while and then picking up again. Grateful to be here, wanted to speak out. This is part of my recovery. Coming to these meetings, listening to these, to all of you compulsive overeaters, knowing that I am too a hopeless variety of the compulsive overeater and working, wanting the recovery that I know is available if I just work the steps. So thank you for letting me share. And I pass.
Thank you, Barbara A. from California. Becky T., please share with us.
I'm Becky T. from Idaho, and I guess I learned a new word this morning, a new way of putting what I've been trying to figure out what's going on in me. I've been calling it resistance or rebellion or whatever, but bulking sounds like a real kind of really neat word. And I've been calling people and trying to get information on what one does to get themselves motivated into going to do what they don't want to do. And and I've heard some really wonderful answers from the people that I've called doing outreach calls. And one of my favorite brought me back to something I've known for a long, long time, and that is that if I just work my program, if I allow myself to go back into the material that brought me to the clear head in the first place, then I'm refocused again and hanging on to the power greater than myself. I'm hanging on to God at that point because my head doesn't have the answers. And so when she got done explaining how she did that, and she included her spiritual material as well as the program material, and I just felt this peace come over me because I realized, number one, this is a moment. This bulking is a moment. It's not forever. And it is something that I can be restored to sanity, will be restored to sanity. If I just get quiet, and I realize that I need to continue. I'm not there yet, but to continue putting down whatever processes my brain comes up with that gives me whatever peace I think, whether it's organizing things that don't need to be organized when there's so much more important things to be doing, or playing games on my phone, whatever it is, I need to I'm watching this happen. I'm detaching from what's going on and getting more quiet and talking to God all the way through it. And he's like showed me yesterday that I'm not even listening to me, that I'm crying inside and I can't even hear my own pain. So I'm really grateful to be here, and I am very blessed to be walking with you guys while we walk to this place that we were always intended to be. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Becky T. from Idaho. And we do have time for another share. Who would like to share with us if you have not shared in the past 3 days?
Hi, this is Gail K. I'd like to share.
Go ahead, Gail.
All right. Hi, this is Gail K. in California, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. And, of course, the entire Big Book speaks to me so loud and clear these days. I'm so grateful for that. This particular paragraph, it says, we thought we could find an easier, softer way. And it says, well, the result was nil until we let go absolutely. And that last phrase, let go absolutely, is what I wanted to speak about today. For me, in and out of the rooms for years and years, had wonderful, wonderful, amazing sponsors. And I was actually a person who did everything the sponsors asked me to do. I was very conforming in that regard. And I knew that I was a very, very sick person. However, all of my surrenders were conditional. I was surrendering and I was doing everything the program asked, but my motive, and that's one thing the Big Book challenges me with every single day, is to check my motives. And my motive for working this program, for doing the things that I was asked to do, was to get my body under control, lose that weight, and keep it off permanently, which were things I had never been able to do for myself. And everything I heard, I still interpreted the end game as me being able to be in control of my body, size, shape, weight, and the food that I ate. And when I finally surrendered unconditionally is when the miracle happened. It literally on the day that I said, you know what, I want to be sane around food. And if the weight has to stay what the weight is today, I want sanity, which it promises us in the second step, that we're going to be restored to sanity. So that's what I want to offer into the space this morning. If there's anybody that's wondering why it's not working, what it turned out to be for me was I was not able to surrender my body to the care of a power greater than myself, my weight to the care of a power greater than myself. I was willing to surrender my life, but not my body. And therein lay the difference for me to let go of everything, absolutely unconditional surrender. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Gail Kay from California. And we have time for about another 1 minute share if someone would like to share, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days. Is there someone else who'd like to share?
Amanda A., California.
Who from California?
Oh, Amanda A. from California.
Okay, go ahead, Amanda.
Hi, everyone. Amanda A., California compulsive overeater. Very, very grateful to be here on this meeting. I am so, like I said, so very grateful that I came to Vision and that I am able to have this sort of food neutrality. And I am at a place right now in my life where I never, never thought that I would feel this way. You know, for the 40 years I've been on this planet, I thought that it was normal to struggle with food and with body image and everything like that. And since I found a power that has been greater than myself, I feel restored to sanity, and I am just so grateful. I'm going to keep this share short, but for all those who are new, keep working the program. Pray for willingness. It will come. It will come. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Amanda A. from California. And with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap up the meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared, and thank you to everyone who has been of service for this entire month of January. So appreciate you. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Jody E. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Yes, thank you, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Jody E., gratefully recovered and restored to sanity in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.